It's about time for us to get started. We're so glad that all of you could be here this morning. You're in for a real treat. Our speaker this morning is Kathy Jones. She is my mother-in-love in our family. We don't call it mother-in-law. We call it mother-in-love. She is a great lady. She is. She has two children and six beautiful grandchildren. This morning, she's going to talk to us about becoming better Bible class teachers and show some visual aids and stuff, and I know you're in for a real treat. She and her husband, my father-in-law, David Jones, are working with the church in Houma, Louisiana, and they're doing a great job. They've been there. July will be 2 years, right? And you're in for a real treat, but Wayne says, cut the introduction short. We don't have long, so here she is.
Have to give me a minute. Is that on now? Can you hear me? Okay. Can y'all hear me? Well, good morning, ladies. I'm glad you're here this morning. I don't know if you were here last year, but it was great last year. And this year, it looks like it's even going to be bigger and better. And I want to thank the elders at university for deciding to make this an annual event, because it's encouraging to me, and I hope it'll be encouraging to you as the week goes out. University has done a great job with this. They've put a lot of hard work in this. I know they have, because we've been associated with different programs such as the Memphis School of Preaching Lectureships for so long. I know there are ladies here today that have worked hard at the Memphis School of Preaching Lectures, and they know what goes on in putting a program like this together. And I want to thank everyone for their efforts and their work. I'd like to thank Shane Kay and Wayne for housing us. It's kind of like a three-ring circus there, but we love it. I mean, it's fun. Shane Kay and Wayne do a wonderful work here. They're great people. Of course, they have great children. And I would like to thank my daughter for being here today. My children are very special to me. And this is the reason that I do what I do, because I want to be the best example for them that I can be. When Wayne called me and asked me to speak, he said, I have some lessons, and you can pick from which one you want to do, but I have one in mind I want you to do. And I said, well, Wayne, whatever you want me to do will be fine. And so he gave me the lessons, and I said, okay. I knew once he named the lessons off which one he wanted me to do. So he said, I'd really like for you to do the subject of, or speak on the subject of, building a great Bible class program. And I said, that's fine. And he said, I want it to be very practical and very basic. And I said, well, that's pretty much all I can do. So he said, do some of the things that you do in your workshops when you go to your workshops. So that's what I've planned this morning. I'd like to be very practical, very basic, and I'd like for us to think about the Bible class program. How many of you are here on Facebook? That's what I thought. Well, when I started getting this lesson together, I put the question on Facebook. What do you think makes a great Bible class program? Please give me some feedback, because I wanted to see what everyone thought, and everyone has different opinions. And so the main thing that I found out is they would say, well, we need to have a faithful teacher. That's true. You need to have a prepared teacher. You need to have this type of teacher and that type of teacher. But ladies, to me, when Wayne asked me about Bible class program, a Bible class program consists more of just a teacher and a helper in a classroom. And so what I'd like to do is give you five basic keys that I feel like makes up the Bible class program, and then I'd like to go back and kind of make it personal and see how we can do, what we can do to make that program successful. The first key to building a great Bible class program are elders. That's our first key. Not just men with titles, but men that do their work as an elder. The elders are required to feed the flock. And for our Bible class program to be what it should be, elders need to be doing their work. They need to feed the flock. In Acts 20:28, it tells us that the elders are to take heed to themselves, to the flock, and to feed the church of God. You know, our Bible class program is where our elders, our future preachers, our future deacons, Bible class teachers, your future son in love and daughters in love are going to be trained. And so we want our future teachers, preachers to be taught by sound elders. And so that's the first key that we need into building a great Bible class program. The second key I've chosen is, and I'm going quick because I thought I had a little bit more time than I do, is sound material. This material right here, since we've moved from the Bible Belt, we were in close to Memphis for 18 years. We had all the resources that we needed. Now that we're in Houma, Louisiana, which is almost in the Gulf of Mexico, we have no resources. And so what I've done is I've made copies of some things that I want. I'm going to let two of my girls pass out, and I'm just going to let them pass out this first, and then I'll be passing out a little bit as we go along. And if I don't have enough copies, I can get you some copies after the class. If you want them, fine. Give them to somebody that might want them. You don't have to take them. But this is Bible class. This is some information on Bible class material. There are a few that I'd like to recommend here. My favorite Bible class material is Engraving Heavenly Truths. Have any of you heard of that material? Excellent material. Some homeschoolers use it, but what it consists of are flashcards and a book, and then they have smaller cards for the children. Now, what's good about this material, when you're in a mission point, you don't have to buy the cards. You don't have to buy the book. You can buy either cards or book, which, you know, personally, teacher needs both, I think. But then there are miniature cards for the children. I don't have anything in that. You can go on the website and look this up under, I think you can just type in Engraving Heavenly Truths, and it'll bring their website up. But I've had a lot of teachers tell me, well, you can't teach little ones with flashcards. Yes, you can. Repetition is a wonderful way to teach children. But another way to teach them with these cards are make your own flashcards. And I just want to show you a few that I've made for some of the classes. You have the cards on one side, the picture on the other. I'm just going to show you a few that I've made. And then on some of them, even like first, second grade, if you want to put this on there, and then you can put the words on the other side with the picture once they tell you what the cards are. So it's just your own flashcards made shaped like a Bible. And I'll tell you more about that later. Also, one material is Paul Saint's material, and that is on the papers that are put out. And it's Studying Through the Bible by Paul Saint. It's basically like I don't know if you remember weekly readers that they used to have, and it's good sound material. And also, I'm sure a lot of us have used The Living Way and The New Living Way. That's by Lambert Bookhouse. If you like the book, they're sound. I've never seen anything in it that wasn't. And then some congregations do their own literature. I think University has some, and they do a great job at it. Every time I come here, I go through their resource room. And so there are just some material that you might look at that I can suggest because I've used them in the past. So we need elders doing their work, we need sound material, and we need members. members involved in the Bible class program. They say most of the congregation, there's about 30% that participate in everything, and those 30% pretty much do the work of the church. But we need all members a part of the Bible class program. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, it compares our body to the spiritual body and how our body parts work together, and that's how the church, the members should work together. I know that it's hard when your body doesn't function like it's supposed to. For the last, 6 months, I've had some back problems. And when I first had the back problem, I didn't realize that it was my back because it was in my legs. And then I went to the doctor, and they said, well, you got a nerve. So then I thought it was a nerve. So then I went and had an MRI done, and it was two little discs. Well, these two little discs caused my back to hurt, my legs to hurt, weak, numbness, messes your mind up, messes your emotions up. Well, our body, our spiritual body is the same way. When our members are not doing their part, and they have a part of this Bible class program, then the whole body is off. You're weak in one place. You have pain in one place. It just messes. It's chaos. So we need all members, and there are a lot of things that you can do besides teach. There are a lot of things you can do, and we'll get to that in a little bit later. Now, a lot of ladies say, well, my talent's not important. It's just a little talent. I can't do a lot. But I'd like to share a story with you that David found for me on the Internet. There was a story once told about Sir Michael Costa, the Italian-born composer and conductor. He was conducting a rehearsal with an orchestra one day, and about halfway through the rehearsal, the drums were blaring, the trumpet was blaring, the drums, the trumpet, the violins were playing, and the little piccolo player said, Why am I doing this? Nobody can hear me anyway. So he said, well, I'm just not going to do it because nobody knows. So he puts his instrument up to his mouth, but he didn't play. And about just a few seconds into it, the conductor said, stop, stop. Where's my piccolo? You see, our Lord is our conductor, and he knows when we're not using our talents. And if nobody else knows, he knows. So we need the whole congregation to make the body whole, working together for our Bible class program. The next thing we need are parents. Not just parents, but involved parents. We have a lot of parents, but they're not involved. Now, how you do that's a mystery to me. I don't know how you do it. It's been a thing that we've had more problems with than anything. They want their kids to do something, but take them and do it. Or they want, and then they want to blame the church for their children not being faithful when they leave. One thing that we've talked about with our elders since we've been at HOMA is having maybe a parent-teacher meeting. They have them in school, don't they? Do you think any parents would miss their parent-teacher meeting at school? That may be one way to get them involved. We've talked to them about maybe having an open house at the beginning or the ending of the quarter. We've talked about writing letters to our parents each quarter, letting them know what they'll be studying, letting them know what they're responsible for learning. And then we've talked about having a Bible bow. Now, I said talked. You know how elders are sometimes. They talk a lot. But we have accomplished writing letters to our students. And since we've done that, we've had a 15 to 20 members attendance more in Bible class, which I think is tremendous, on one quarter writing one letter. And the children are doing well. I have an example of a letter that I sent out for class, that I'm going to pass out, and then what I do is try to thank the parents for allowing me to teach them. I like to let them know what they're being taught, what they're expected to learn, and then just something for them to think about. So, Mag, would you? Now, we also were able to get our elders to agree on a Bible bowl at the end of every quarter. And with this new material that we've picked up, which is Engraving Heavenly Truths, and our first Bible bowl, our 2 and 3 year olds answered 75% of their questions, which is excellent, out of 54 questions for just the 2 and 3 year olds. Depending on what age that the children were depending on how many questions they had. They answered 75% of them. Our 4 year olds through kindergarten answered 100% of their questions. Our 4th through 6th grade answered 95% of their questions. Our 1st through 3rd grade answered 95%. Our 4th through 6th grade answered 100%, and our teens had 100%. We had to cut the Bible contest out because we couldn't get anybody out. They knew all their questions. And that was the first quarter of using this. And don't tell me flashcards doesn't help children learn. So that's one way to get them involved. Parents got to see this competition between these kids, how much they had learned, and it really encouraged everybody. So that's one thing. And then the next thing I know to tell you to do is pray, pray, and pray some more. Because we need involved parents in the Bible class program. And then, of course, the last key that I want to mention are teachers. We need teachers. Although that's not the only thing we need in the Bible class program, we need teachers. And we need faithful teachers. And we need teachers that are willing to teach. And so I'm going to say a little bit more about the teachers in a minute. Now I want to go back and see as what we can do. Now, can we be an elder, ladies? No. Can we do something to help the elders? Yes. One thing I think the elders fall short of, and it may be because of us, is to getting to know our younger people. So you know what? We can do something about this. One thing I tried when we were back toward the Memphis area was I had a class, I think it was either 2 classes or 4 classes, I can't remember, on elders, qualifications of elders and the whole work. And I'll show you some of the things that I used right here. And I had patterns for you, and I had such a horrible time with my copy machine at home. I was going to do it here, and then stopped and forgot them. But we look like the hillbillies coming anyway, so I don't know if we could have got another sheet of paper in our car. So, but these are in, I don't know if you have the book, they're Leroy Learns, and he learns about Christianity in this particular book. And this is just a visual on the eldership, and it just tells the qualifications of an elder. And you can look at these later because we've got to go through them really quick. Then also these are of a deacon, and this just spells out the word deacon, and it tells different qualifications of a deacon. This one right here is qualifications of a preacher, and it just tells what a preacher is and what a preacher's not, and it just goes on like that. Now, like I said, you're welcome to come and look this up, but after that, I invited each elder into the classroom, and I introduced them to my children. But before I did that, I asked my children, who are our elders? Well, they named off every man they could think of in the congregation. Some of them their dad, some of them their granddaddy, some of them that was just, they liked, you know. So they had no clue. Now, this was 5 and 6 year old class. So the elders, I invited the elders to come in, introduce them. It's okay. Introduce them to the children. And then I allowed the children to ask them questions about their life, about their hobbies, and so on and so forth. So they got to know the elders. And the elders really appreciated that. So that's just one suggestion you can do is to help the elders. Let me see. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, as a member. Okay, if you don't teach, there's a lot of things you can do. you can be encouraging to the other teachers. Maggie, do you have my Kleenexes? You can be encouraging to the other teachers by writing notes and saying thank you. You can organize, thank you, baby, a teacher's appreciation dinner. That helps in the Bible class program. You know, the teachers get discouraged every now and then, and know that they're appreciated will help tremendously. You can help organize the resource room. You know, I'm a little envious, and I know you're not supposed to be, but I'd like to take this resource room home with me. And I do take a little piece of it home about every time I go and make copies. But they can help. As a member, you can help with the resource room. You can help the teachers. A lot of teachers spend a lot of money out of their pockets. You could say to the teacher, what can I do? Can I help you buy something? Can I go and buy you a book? Do you need a certain book? Do you need a certain paper? There's a lot of things members can do. And then the most important thing you can do is prepare yourself to be a teacher. Then let's think about, as a parent, we've talked a little bit about that. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 tells us that we're to teach our children when they're sitting down, when they're laying down, when they're walking. Every opportunity that we have, we're to teach our children. That's the parent's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. They have a part in it, but it's not their responsibility. So that's what we as parents should be doing. Work with your teacher. Let them know that you're behind them. Spend time with your children studying God's Word. Make sure your children are prepared for Bible class. They're prepared for school. Make sure they're prepared for Bible class. Teach your children to be respectful to the teacher and to the other students. Let the teachers know you appreciate them. Get involved in youth activities. And teach your children to have a heart and love for God and His Word. That's what parents can do. And then teachers in the, I don't know how much time do I have left, you know? Okay, good. Now, that's some things that we can do personally. Now, I want to talk about the teacher more, because that's where my heart is in teaching. Wayne wanted me just to show some things that I try to do in workshops. Now, one of the questions that I get the most in a workshop is, what do you do about discipline? Well, you know, each teacher has her own. But I've been reading on some of it, and I come across a really cute thing that I used a few weeks ago with the four-year-olds to kindergarten, I think. And it seemed to have worked out well. And what I did was I had these little smiley faces. And I said, here's you one. And here's you one. And here's you one. And here's you one. And here's you one. Now, at the end of class, if you still have your smiley face, then you get something out of my happy bag. But if I have to take your smiley face away from you, you don't get anything. Now, there are three rules that I want you to remember. If you can remember these three rules, then you will be able to keep your smiley face. The first rule is, when the teacher's teaching, what do you do? And, of course, by the picture, they know be quiet. That's one rule. When you have something to say, what do? You raise your hand. And what are we supposed to stay in? Our seats. And then I went over it, and I let them tell me what the rules were. And then during class, if they would go to get out of their seat, I'd say, you want me to take your smiley face? And they said, no. And they knew exactly what they were doing. The class went so smooth. I've only tried it once, but it worked that one time. So what I did was I made copies for everyone. If you want copies of it, you can try it in your classroom and let me know how it works. Now, okay, that's fine. They can share. Now, they look to me just as cute in black and white as they do colored. So you could do them either way. Put them on cardstock, run them through the copier, and you've got your quick, fun visual. And it really worked. Another thing I like to do as a teacher is reward my kids. Now, some people may feel like that they shouldn't get rewarded. I think that's wrong. You know, God's going to reward us when we get to heaven. And we reward them for everything else in this life. Why not reward them for the things they do that are right? And I've copied off some little certificates of reward, if you want to just let them pass those around too, that you can just put through a copier. You can color them, do them in black and white, whatever you want to do. But just, I like to use motivators. Oh, by the way, another thing on the smiley face at the end of the class, you might even give them a smiley face sticker rather than candy or something like that. Just something that they know that they've done good. And I told them at the end of class I didn't have to take a smiley face away. I think I had to tell two children, one to sit in the class and one don't forget to raise their hand. Otherwise, they did great. But I told them that not only did they make me happy, they made God very happy for being so good in Bible class. So, something like that. Motivators are something that really work with the kids. And this has been my biggest motivator here. And I had this one in class. Everybody's looking at me like, what? Had this one in class, and we had monkeys all around the class. I think we had on the door, we don't monkey around in Bible class. We had palm trees, and each time they were there, they got to feed their monkey. Now, we had a little pole stuck to the back of him, and we put the bananas on the pole. And so when we had one family that had six children, came for worship most of the time, but did not bring those six kids to Bible class. If I'd been a parent, I'd have been ashamed. So Dave and I stood at the back door, and when they would go out after services, I would tell her, your monkey is starving to death. And she'd look at her mom and she said, Mama, I have to go to Bible class. My monkey's starving. So do you know that for that quarter, they did much better? And so anyway, she fed her monkey. So that's one way to motivate those children. You motivate the children, you're going to get the parents eventually. Another motivator that's been good for us is popcorn. And each time they're in class, they get a kernel of popcorn. And at the end of this class, if they knew so many cards, we gave them tickets for the cards they knew, and popcorn for the attendance. And if they knew so many cards, we did a movie day, or we did, you know, popcorn and movies at the house or something like that to motivate them to do better. And this is a good one for the little ones, is the gumball machine. And we just put little gumballs in it. This is foam here, but you can cut out circles, whatever you want to do, but this, and just stick it to the back of that, I mean the front of that. And at the end of the quarter, we got them a little gumball machine. Now, the 2 and 3-year-olds used that this quarter, and they found a little gumball machine about like this, and it was real cute. So you can find different things to motivate them. Another type of visual I like to use is character visuals. Has anybody ever seen this character? I don't have magnets on him, so. Anybody know who this character is? His name is Walter. Shelley calls him Wayne. He says, actually his name is, I don't want a Walter. Now Walter doesn't want to do anything his mama says. Do you know anybody like that, Jack? I don't either. But Walter, his mama say, Walter, you need to do your homework. And he's like, I don't want to. I better watch it. And his mom say, Walter, you need to take out the trash. And he'd say, I don't want to. And everything his mother would ask him to do, he'd say, I don't want to. So he said, she would say, Walter, sit down with me and let me tell you about a little boy, a man, that didn't want to do what God told him to do. His name was Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. But Jonah said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. So he jumped on a ship to go to Tarshish. And then you just have your foot chart. And that, the little character things that you do, the kids absolutely love them. And they remember it. I can remember doing it when we were back closer to Memphis. And the little boy decided he wanted to act like Walter. So it backfired on us there. This character is called Libby the Liar. And as she's very popular in school, and everybody likes her, but you know what? One day she forgot her homework, and she didn't want to get in trouble with the teacher, and she didn't want to be made fun of, so she told the teacher, I didn't get my homework. My brother swallowed a golf ball last night. And she said, oh my goodness. And her tongue began to get longer. And then she went on and she said, yes, and they're probably going to have to do surgery on him. And she said, and that was such an easy thing to do. Then, you know, maybe I could lie to get out of something else. And as it goes on, she tells lie and lie and lie. And then her tongue is so long she couldn't even talk. So she tries to put a clothespin on it. And that didn't work either. But what she didn't realize is you cannot tame the tongue. You have to train the tongue. And so you can use it with the tongue. You can use it with Ananias and Sapphira. You can use it with Satan, temptation that Satan gave Adam and Eve and said, you won't die. There's a lot of things you can use that with. This is the little take-home that we made for all the kids. They could take it home and put it on their refrigerator, and they would know. So that's something acute. Walter, these were all little take-homes. I got this from my grandson, so it's very special. He made this for me in Vacation Bible School. This is just a foam fish with his legs sticking out. We don't know if he's swallowing them or spitting them out, but it doesn't matter. But it's really cute. Connor knew that I did this lesson on my workshop, so he said, Grant, I have something for you, so I do use it. This was another take-home. Yeah, you can give those out. This is another take-home. I have a few of these copies. If you want some more, I have to mail them to you. Give me the address. I'll mail you what I have. This is just a fish, and he swallowed Jonah. And this is made out of just some kind of vinyl material you can get at Walmart. Put little eyes on him and drew little silver fins on him. And the children got to take this home. We also do, for a take-home on that one, is Walter reduced down. They say, put a magnet on him. They can stick him on the refrigerator. So that's some of the motivators. That's some of the... what time is it, Shante?
About, well, 2 minutes.
2 minutes? Oh, my word. There's a lot of things up here. This is you can use visual even with the older kids. When I taught my teachers this lesson, I do a teacher's thing each quarter to try to help them get some visuals together for the next quarter. And I used this, and one of the teachers said, oh, they need to use that in the teenage class. She had a teenage son. But I talked about one. Of course, children know what a number one is. And there was one arc, and this is a type and a type. Just like there's one church. There was one pattern to the ark. There's one pattern for the church. There was one builder for the ark. There's one builder for the church. There was one door in the ark. That was one door. And of course, I give scripture reference with it and everything, but I'm trying to... There was one family saved in the ark, and there's one family saved in the church. And then also with that, I have up here, for the little ones, you can have pictures. One family, the pattern. There's the pattern for the church. And just different pictures. Noah built it. Christ built the church. And you can do this for young and old. The art, then I had just a copy paper that I just made a flip chart out. And you know how the kids like these peekaboo books? Well, I decided to do it like that. And I got to figure out which way that I... Here it goes. And this is just the story of the ark. And I just did the pictures down like that. And it's just different pictures of Noah building the ark, and it just tells the story of Noah's ark. So that's another way to teach the same lesson, just different ways. This right here is to teach the publican and the Pharisee. Big I, little I. What did the publican was very humble. The Pharisee was haughty. He thought it was something. So that's a way to teach that parable. I have so many different things. You know, we have the days of creation. Instead of doing it just with paper, I used the foam that made it stand out just a little bit more. And this, my magnets, for some reason, are not wanting to stick to that. But anyway, it's just... And you can buy this foam kit at Oriental Trading. Yeah. And so that's what we used on these. And one thing I always try to put on my day six that the kids love is a dinosaur. Well, they'll know. Because some children, even though they hear it and they hear it and they hear it, I can remember asking a teenager one time about something about dinosaurs. Oh, well, they lived way back before men did. And I said, girl. She said, well, you know, I didn't think about that, but that's what's in our books. I said, no, you better start thinking about that. But just change it up. Now, this one, you have a copy of this one. I'd like to show it to you. The copy to me is very ugly. It looks like this right here. So, I liked the story, but I did not like the way it looked. So, I just made it my own, and I made it with foam and stuff. To me, it looked so much better. And you know what? Children have so many video games and all this stuff. We have to compete. I'm sorry, we do. And if we don't have them something attractive and something they want to see, then they're not going to pay any attention. And I'm going to tell you, teachers, this is our best tool, visual aids, our best tool. I know that if you're like me, I'd rather see a PowerPoint than somebody just standing and talking. I mean, you get a lot out of it, but statistics say that you get 85% of what you hear, I mean, what you see, and 15% of what you hear. So just think how much more advantage our children would have if we used the visual aid. You're welcome to come look at this. Shana Kay says I'm through. I have more. I was going to tell you song visuals are great. Let's sing one song real quick. This is a song that the kids like more than any song, I think. And if y'all will turn to it, it's Glory Land Express, and help me sing it because I am not a singer. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, they can look on with each other. And it goes like this. All right, Shana Kay. I'm on my way to heaven, down the Glory Land Express. The side of the boxcar says J-E-S-U-S. When the yardman hollers heaven, I'll surely shout yes. I'm on my way to heaven on the Glory Land Express. Toot, toot. Children love that song. So visual songs are a great teaching tool too. Okay.